Winnipeg. It is the 112th Grey Cup. We're at Fan Fest this afternoon. Jamie Locker, and we are joined in the flesh. No Uber problems today for Dave Naylor. He is here with us live. Dave, thank you.
We're going to check out his kicking game.
You know what?
He
even walked 20 minutes so he had to, so he could avoid an Uber driver to mix up his pickup location.
2 weeks in a row, you guys have heard my struggles with Ubers live on the air. I did not want to put your listeners through that for a third time.
Well, I'm glad you're here.
I walked through the rain.
Battled the rain.
In person. There we go.
All right.
I can't believe it's raining.
Yeah. It's raining in November.
It's insane, this weather.
It's very Octoberish.
Yes, it is.
It almost feels spring-like. It's almost like winter's past.
Well, yeah, Dave,
what an illusion.
I said to Locker, it's the day that we prove over and over again every single year that the commissioner of the Canadian Football League hates the media because he makes us wake up at 7:30 in the morning to head to his news conference every year at Grey
Cup. How bad did that room smell?
It was pretty good. A lot of Old Spice, I can tell that. Meanwhile, this is what Stuart Johnston had to say. Part of his opening address, he talked about all the good things and all the things, but he did address the elephant in the room right out of the gate.
There is one thing I want to clarify. When we announced those rule changes, I did not do enough to emphasize something very important, our unwavering commitment to the Canadian game. So let me be clear. We are three downs, 12 players, unlimited motion, 65 yards wide, and huge end zones. These rules are not going anywhere.
There you go. There. Are you all the conspiracy theorists happy now that he's not going to merge with the U.S.? How important was that message today?
We said that was the number one takeaway from today. And I'll say, when you go back to what he said in September, there's two things that I think people put together logically that kind of put fear into people. One was when he was asked the question to guarantee the league would never go to four downs. He deferred and said, I wouldn't guarantee that.
There's no guarantees in life.
He said he tried to explain today that he answered it the way he answers things to his kids by saying there's no guarantees in life, essentially. But he also kind of emphasized, we're not stopping here. We're not slowing down. We're going to keep changing and doing things. So I think people put that part of his address from September with the part that refused to, deny four downs. And I think what he was talking about on the we're going to keep going front is, some of the things we've seen since, like even what they're doing with the website and what they're doing with the app. I expect there will be things in the winter meetings in January that will be further tweaks to some of the things that are maybe foundational pieces to the league. But I think it's like one of the things that's hard in leadership, man, is to kind of do a mea culpa and say I'm sorry and say I'm wrong, right? And one of the things I've learned about Stuart Johnston.
Find it hard in marriage, too.
Exactly. That's the hardest place to do that. But I think one of the couple of things I've learned about him is it's not about ego for him, because I have seen him take suggestions and act on them very quickly. Ideas that were not his. Small things, things like that. And two is to stand up in front of that group today who there were certainly people in the crowd that were sharpening their swords and say, I got it wrong, and let me get it right this time. And look, everything I know about what's happened since September lines up with the fact that they are not going for four downs. They are not expanding. And I'm one of the people who speculated about the U.S. expansion. Let me just be clear about that.
You did.
Yeah, no, I absolutely
have. On this program.
But I do not believe, and I knew before today, I'll tell you what I think that is. I think that is in the five-year plus range. Okay, and I think it was good today that he clarified that while expansion is not the top file, expansion is a file, and the expansion priority is within Canada. I do think shortening the field opens the door for a number of things. Partnering with any soccer facility in Canada, in the U.S., in Mexico, in Europe. And I do think with Stuart Johnston, we have to think that he's intending to be here for a while. So I do think this could be relevant, and I do think they probably will. And look, if the UFL folded tomorrow, and the guy in St. Louis called Stuart Johnston and said, hey, I got 30,000 season ticket holders and a football team. I need somewhere to play. I think that could happen, okay? But until that happens, I don't think that could. Or I don't think that's the agenda. So, for me, it's a bit of a clarification as well, because I thought they were probably leaning in that direction. And today he really circled hard back on the expansion. That was the other again, when we were doing top five things that were noteworthy today, Canadian expansion, 10th team priority, U.S. expansion, not on the short-term agenda.
I had a question for Jamie about how you would grade his performance. So technically, this is his first, you know, state of the league. Yeah. I won't tell you what his grade was. What's yours?
I honestly, I would have given him a very high grade. I would have given him like a 9 out of 10. And I know that sounds really high, but I'll tell you, I took notes through the whole thing. You know, and I've been to addresses with commissioners where the noteworthy things they said would not have filled a page, put it that way. I had a page of notes today just off things I thought were either newsworthy or noteworthy. And it's ironic because we are 10 years at anniversary of what I will say the worst State of the League address I ever saw by a mile was Jeffrey Orridge here 10 years ago. You know, and again, the explanation for it at the time was, well, he's only been on the job 6 months. And to which I said, you know, not 6 days.
Yeah.
That's what it sounded like. Honestly, it was embarrassing. It was bad. And I'm not trying to be personal against Jeffrey Orridge, and not everything he did as commissioner was bad, but that address was awful. And today, this was one of the best I'd seen, just because I think, look, he's never going to get the people who don't want to see any changes. You're not going to satisfy them. That's not the goal of that news conference.
They were all drinking at Ryderville last night.
They were drinking. There you go. Or, you know, getting their pictures taken with Luke Wilson or something. You know, but no, I thought he nailed it. I really thought he did. I thought he hit the notes he had to hit.
Yeah.
He dropped news.
There's some humility there too.
Yeah, there's some humility. Sort of, I thought he came across as pretty likable. I was surprised. I looked at the, you know, Fire Stuart Johnston Facebook page afterwards, and of course there was rails against him. And I'm, oh my God, this guy. And I don't know. I'm not sure what he would have said this morning that would have. What did he say this morning that would have sent you over
gone.
The cliff?
Nothing. Nothing. They'll be that way.
Unless you just flat out don't believe him.
Yeah.
And that was, there was some of the commentary. I don't believe this guy. Okay, well then you can't,
We're getting a bit of that on the text line.
If that's the standard, I don't believe you, no matter what you say, how are you going to win him over?
You're not. They're gone.
But
when I assessed it, I said, this is how I'm grading Stewart. F was Jeffrey Orridge.
Yes.
I said that one.
Yeah.
But I haven't seen as many as you have. Mark Cohan was the first one.
Yep.
Mark Cohan, to me, always knew the room,
yep.
always knew it. I have him as an A-plus guy,
yep.
so if you're grading that way,
yep.
Randy was usually in the D-plus C range because mm-hmm. of the lack of
yep.
anything. I put him at a B-plus
yeah,
compared to all the other commissioners we have seen. I was pretty impressed.
I've seen commissioners who come out, and I'm right, and you know, with respect here, I like Randy Ambrosi, and I don't think he's the worst commissioner I ever covered by any means. But if you looked at his address at State of the League, sometimes it was about 90 seconds long. Like, he did not come out and speak
yeah.
like Stewart did today. Stewart must have talked for,
it was 17 minutes.
17 minutes before he took questions.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm telling you, there have been commissioners that haven't done three, you know, and certainly haven't done 10. So when I say, he gave us a lot, you know, and that's what I'm talking about, the notes I took and the things. He gave us a lot of content before the questions ever came. And some people
yep.
wanted the questions to go longer, but, I mean, we all got our shot. And to be honest, you know, in the CFL, Accessible League, anybody in that room who wanted to get a question to Stuart Johnson one-on-one sometime this week, you can find him and do it, right?
Yep.
It's not like he's dodging. So, he's around. Yeah, he's around. Honest, on my way walk over here, I ran into Lucas Barrett, who's the director of communications for the league, and we're standing on a street corner waiting for a light to turn. He said, "What'd you think?" I said, "I thought he did really well."
Yeah,
so that's as honest. Yeah,
Dave Naylor, our CFL insider here on the Green Zone. We're live from Fan Fest. Well, there's one question we haven't asked Dave yet this week. We're going to ask it next.
Yeah,
who's going to win the Grey Cup? This is 980 CJME and 650 CKOM. Jamie Walker and our CFL insider Dave Naylor is with us live from Fan Fest, University of Winnipeg campus, downtown Winnipeg, ahead of the 112th Grey Cup. Okay, before we get your Grey Cup prediction, has Mike O'Shea made a decision yet on where he's coaching?
I do not believe so, but I think it could be imminent. I think.
Do you think it's Toronto?
I'm being as honest as I can about this. I do not know.
Okay.
And I, even my leaning is like 50-50. And I'm talking to a lot of people who would have insight into this, people who know O'Shea well.
And they don't know.
They don't know. And I can tell you this. I don't think the Bombers know that they've lost him. And I don't know that the Argos know that he's coming.
Wow.
It is really just come down to a major decision for Mike O'Shea. But certainly the opportunity in Toronto.
He's just respecting the CFL. Like, he does not want to drop
100%
that news this week.
I don't know that.
No. Nope.
I mean, I don't know that. I mean, because if he really didn't want to make news, he could have sold the guys, I'll do the interview next week.
Yeah.
Right? Like, I'm just going underground. It's Grey Cup week. You know, we're still relatively early in the offseason, right? And if he told,
because he was there last night at the,
he was.
Everybody was surprised.
I was surprised to see him.
It
was kind of surreal for me because I've spent basically 7 days talking about the guy nonstop on radio and TV, and I walk in and there he is, right?
Yeah.
And I assume he was there because of Trey Babel. Like, he knew Trey Babel was going to win an award or two. So, I don't necessarily think. And Mike, you know, again, as you know, he's not necessarily attuned to, you know, the media stuff. Or images of the, like, it's not where his brain goes. So I think it's very possible that he might just, that has nothing to do with it. And because I think you could have said, even told people, hey, you know, I've told them all, Tuesday a Grey Cup week, I'll talk to both sides. But he didn't. He took a flight. Like, that is I still can't get over this. If you would imagine when this thing got awarded 3 years ago or whatever, and you know what the Bombers are and what they're trying to be, and like, this week will be a coronation of the Mike O'Shea era of the Bombers. Or he might get on a flight Monday for Toronto. Really? I mean, when you think about it, that's pretty dramatic stuff.
Absolutely. Dave Naylor with us, our CFL insider.
We want your prediction.
Yeah, here we go. 112th Grey Cup. Saskatchewan's listening, Dave.
I'm going to write it down.
You know what? I honestly think if Davis Alexander is healthy, this game is probably a push on the betting line. I think it's Saskatchewan minus 3.5, right?
It's shifted. It was like 1.5. Then it went to 4.5. I think it's down to 3.5.
Three and a half. So I would read that. Like, somebody asked me what the line would be. Well, somebody asked me what it would have been if BC had won. And I said, Lions by 1.5, I think, just because of the Nathan Rourke factor, right? And this one, I think, with a healthy Davis Alexander, I think this one's a push. And so the uncertainty about, if you hear Davis today, like, I'm good, I feel great, nobody believes me, I don't care, you'll see on Sunday. You know, which is classic. I love the way the guy talks, right? It's a great soundbite for the, you know.
Well, I watched him practice a bit today, and he's...
Yeah. The question will be, is there a point where early in the second quarter, you know, the Riders' defensive line closes in on him, he hits go, and all of a sudden that gets aggravated, right? And how much is he going to spend? By that I mean, you know, you've got so much hamstring, and you know that if you really just played like a regular football game, you're probably not going to make it through, despite all the hamstring doctors and how you're feeling. So there's two things. One is, can he make it through the game? And two, how much does it limit him? Because Davis Alexander, I think for a young quarterback, one of the things he does absolutely superbly is timing of when to get out of the pocket. And that was something Anthony Calvillo drilled with him sort of during his development phase. They would watch film, whether it was from practice or preseason or live game opportunities he got, and Anthony would isolate moments where he thought he incorrectly took time getting out of the pocket, and he would drill him on and say, tell me why you left the pocket. And if you watch him now, that really is something he does tremendously well. So that skill is going to be tested, right? Because that relies on go and then getting outside of the pocket and being able to make plays upfield or throw the ball. So it's a big part of what he does.
Because that injury is in your head.
Yeah, it's a big part of what he does. Now, you know, he doesn't seem like a mentally fragile guy.
No.
I got to be honest. Like, he's pretty confident. So, look, I think I'm leaning Montreal. But I'll tell you where I think the Riders win this game. It's at the defensive line, and they have a great defensive line. I mean, all year, they have beat up offensive lines. They have pressured quarterbacks. They have affected the pocket. If they can do that, you know, to a degree that really upsets Davis Alexander and forces him to move around, I think the Riders win.
So, but on TSN on Sunday, that Alouettes logo is going to be underneath Naylor for your pick?
I think so.
Okay.
I think so. But well,
you got to give us a score. Give us a score.
Oh, my goodness. Okay. I'm going to say... Now, the thing is, these are the two best defenses in the league.
Absolutely.
These aren't the two best offenses in the league. They're the two best defenses in the league. I'm going to say Montreal 25-22. I got to pick an odd score. You know, this is the last one with the Rouge.
To
go through the end zone. So you got to pick an odd score for this Grey Cup.
Saskatchewan 20-19 with a Brett Lauther missed. Rouge for the win. Just to honor the rule.
Am I writing that down for you?
No, I'm not predicting that.
Honest to goodness. If the football gods are listening, If there was ever a time for a Grey Cup to be won by a missed field goal, and we have all, I think,
they're here. Actually, they're in the fan zone trying to kicking thing.
I think we've all gone to Grey Cup weeks before. You don't think of their backup. I hope it doesn't get won. You know, like nobody wants to see that. But if there was ever a time, this is the one, right?
Just for all the fans that don't like the rouge penalty to go, you want your game to end like that?
The thing always fear just occurred, but good news, it'll never happen again.
It'll never happen.
You got to tell people at the broadcast, if it does happen, you got to have a shot of stew immediately.
Oh my goodness.
You got to go to stew.
It's funny, though, to get his reaction. How, with the whole rule change thing, kind of like with what happens on the field, effect, like we talked about the Trey Vavil, you know, right after the announcement. Boom, boom, you have these missed field goal returns. Well, right before the announcement, you had Ryan Dinwiddie getting into it with the other team on the same side. So I'm sure Stewart was home. I like that.
Yeah, there we go.
I'm going to move teams to the other side.
Perfect. Anyway. There's a doink in the east.
Dave? Yeah, the doink. Yeah, the goalpost. Absolutely. Yeah.
Thanks for the walk over and joining us.
Guys, it has been a pleasure. Of course, we're going to do this all year anyway.
Absolutely.
But great to catch up with you a couple times during Grey Cup week.
We'll talk to you next week Grey Cup 112.
We'll probably put a bow on the Mike O'Shea story.
Yes, we will. There you go. And that is Dave Naylor of the CFL on TSN, our CFL insider here on the Green Zone. Real quick, as the Riders wrapped up their closed practice, it was the State of the League address. Commissioner Stuart Johnston announcing a new app, new websites for the Canadian Football League in 2026. And one matinee hockey game, because it was in Sweden, it was Pittsburgh and the Predators. 1-0 Penguins in that one. This is 980 CJME and 650 CKOM. Jamie and Locker here live at Fan Fest. Locker's upset because the lineup's too long to try to redeem himself for the field goal.
I've been keeping an eye on it. I don't want to run down there and.
Do you know what?
Take a chance away from someone here for FanFest.
We need to get Britton here tomorrow. Britton's busy. He's back at the stadium. He's working. He's all over the place. That's why he hasn't been here at the table with us. If you're wondering, why is Britton always he's grinding.
He's got
all over the place.
A ton of work to do.
But Britton Gray does join us for a update on the Saskatchewan Rough Riders. It is day three of practice for them. As they did, they closed this one all year long, closed practice again today. So not going to get details on who was out there or not. We'll have to wait until the team sends out an injury report a little bit later on. But Britton, 48 hours away from kickoff. Who'd you talk to today? What's the mood like for this Rough Rider team?
Speaking as somebody who is sneaky athletic and you wouldn't expect it.
Britton Gray was a broomball player.
Yeah. Yeah.
So
I bet she's a decent kicker, too.
I would like to see him here and try a field goal.
We can get him down here.
Maybe tomorrow. Yeah. They have walkthroughs early in the morning, right? So nothing's going on Saturday afternoon from a media perspective. Everything kind of ends there. But Britton Gray, first off, can you try to get here tomorrow so we could watch you try to kick a field goal?
I can try. It really, really depends. I'm a busy man this week, Jamie.
Yeah, but I know the schedule tomorrow. You're done at like noon, so I know you have a lot of pregame stuff to get ready for, but I think I think you can make it. I think you can get here, and we can see how you kick a field goal.
No practicing.
It's up to him. He can do whatever he wants. He can go to the parking lot of the hotel tonight and try to kick a few. I don't know what he wants to do, but we'll see if we get Britton down here. But as I was asking before your cell disconnected, what is the mood of the team, like 48 hours away from kickoff? What's the vibe check like from the group you talked to today?
I'm sure you could guess. It's that confidence in themselves, right? It's that business as usual attitude, and that's why I think it's going to pay some dividends for them. This is a confident group because they do have a lot of championship experience despite not going as this group. And as Trevor Harris has said, they do feel like this is their time.
I am curious because Montreal was supposed to have their practice today closed, and they switched. And listen, maybe it's just a really minor thing, and I don't know why Montreal did that. And they did it last minute because there was press, there was media in the building to see the practice, and then the announcement went out, no, it's closed, tomorrow will be open.
They gave a notice the night before that it was going to be closed, but nobody really knew that. It was like, okay. And then we all knew the Riders are going to close in day three. They've closed day three all year long.
But day three makes more sense. Tomorrow's walkthrough, then you've got the game on Sunday. I don't know. Wouldn't you want the last practice to be your close practice?
I don't. What do you think, Britton? It's probably all about what they schedule to do their, not special plays, but what day they have picked out to do some of their goal line stuff that they usually like to keep secret.
Yeah, I'm going to default to Jason Moss here. He has the Grey Cup rings to kind of go with it, whatever he elects to do. And maybe part of it is they wanted to close a little bit earlier just to see what Davis Alexander's hamstring was like, right? Maybe just see what's going on there and really let him get a better grasp of that earlier in the week. But like I said, I'll default to why Jason Moss elected to do that. He knows more about football than I'll ever know.
So the Rough Riders, again, close practice today. Let's circle back to last night. It was the CFL Awards. Let's start with Jermarcus Hardrick. That was cool. He brought his kids up on stage with him to get the trophy. He brought him into the media room. If you know Jermarcus's story from where he came from, as Belton Johnson tells us, it's not very far from Coffeyville, Mississippi. It's a lot of poverty where he comes from. Not really a stable family environment for Jermarcus Hardrick. But you could see how much that meant to him and how much family means that Jermarcus Hardrick's the most outstanding offensive lineman.
It does mean a lot to him. You look at a guy who's battled throughout his entire career, has learned from some of the best, and he said he's seen guys he looks up to go up and get that award, guys who brought him into the league, guys who really helped him out. They've won that award. Stanley Bryant, of course, won it multiple times. So for him to finally be up there, accept the award, I think it feels like the reward after all the long journey, right? All the stuff he's done, everything he's kind of been through, that was that reward finally. To be up there, accepted in front of his friends, his teammates at the CFL Award.
Well, it was cool. Locker last night. So we have the monitor in the media room of the stage. So after the show's over on CFL Plus, they cut away, right? Now, there's the thing. But we still had the monitor. And Jermarcus brought the entire offensive line group on stage with him for a picture.
It's a tight group.
Oh, absolutely it is. You just saw it. It was every offensive lineman of the Riders was there. He gave the trophy to Edwin Harrison, the offensive line coach, and they had a big group photo on the stage. Because, as he said, Britton, this is a team award. He doesn't win top offensive lineman of the year if he doesn't have those, you know, four brothers with him grinding every game day with him.
Yeah, exactly. And he said that every time. This is a team award. He even gives Trevor Harris some credit for it, right, for how quick he gets the ball out. A.J. Ouellette and what he does with pass
blocking.
It all helps kind of make the offensive line look better when it's all working, because we know when it doesn't work, even one part, it can make the offensive line look bad. So, yes, a team award, but just one of the nicest guys in the league, Jermarcus Hardrick. All that energy he brings, you were happy for him. You were very happy Jermarcus Hardrick could win that.
Commissioner Stuart Johnston delivers his State of the League address earlier today. We've hit the highs and all the points over the course of the show here today. I'm wondering, though, we've been talking about a grade. What grade would you give him? Naylor gave him a 9 out of 10. Jamie gave him a BB+. What do you got?
Yeah, I'm out of a BB+ for what he did. He really, him walking back that stuff and really committing to Canadian football, absolutely, that was great to hear from him and kind of put to rest some of those maybe conspiracy theories going around. Though, I mean, you never know what the future holds, I guess. As he said before, can't guarantee nothing ever happens, but good for him for saying that. And just some of the moves he made, like just upgrading the CFL website is going to be huge. Getting that season-long fantasy. CFL app, I really liked what he had to say today about a lot of things.
Britton Gray with us. By the way, there is breaking news in the Canadian Football League. We just stopped with Dave. The Bombers just tweeted out that Mike O'Shea will be back as their head coach in 2026. So the Bombers have tweeted that out.
And wow.
Dave just told us it's imminent on his decision. He's not sure which way he's going, but the Bombers have said Mike O'Shea will return as head coach in 2026. So he's not going anywhere. Try
wow.
again. Although I don't know if Saskatchewan wants the Toronto Argonauts to try again. There's some coaches that they might be interested in from that Rough Rider staff. So that just came in from the Winnipeg Blue Bombers. moments ago. But Britton Gray is with us here on the Green Zone. Tomorrow is walkthrough day as the Riders get set. Okay, let's just say this, Locker. Britton, when compared to us, is of the younger demographic. The demographic the CFL wants.
We can prove it right now. Name me a Machine Gun Kelly song.
I mean, the new one's cliche, but before we move on to Machine Gun Kelly, on the CFL injury report list, they have listed both Joe Robustelli and Keyshawn Johnson as out for the game. So that's a very interesting thing where we'll see what wide receiver ends up starting. Joe has been starting there, but just wanted to point that out. That kind of just came across. The team hasn't tweeted out or anything, but according to the injury reports you can find on CFL.ca, both of them ruled out.
Wow. So there you go. I'm just pulling that up right now. Keyshawn Johnson did not participate. He is out. Joe Robustelli clearly did not. Well, he didn't participate today. He really ramped it up yesterday, so I'm guessing he woke up this morning and still had concussion symptoms. He is out. So it looks like it'll be a Joe on the depth chart tomorrow as the starting receiver, which would allow them not to have that ridiculous rotation on the defensive line.
Because they're going to Canadian.
That's going to be huge for the defensive line rotation, right? You can have Mike Rose full go because a Joe will start as four Canadian starting receivers likely for the Grey Cup, for the Rough Riders.
Now, if you put them down as out, there's no changing that.
They have to be out for the game.
So that you have to designate them as questionable. So it is,
yep.
Yeah. That's very interesting.
But, Britton, speak to what this could mean for the depth chart tomorrow.
I mean, as you mentioned, they don't have to play by the designated nationalized American rule, right? You can have Mike Rose out there for pretty much the whole game, which could be a key. This team is going to want to get pressure on Davis Alexander. They want to make him run around a little bit, really test out that hamstring when they're getting after him, right? So defensive line. Now, Ollie Saad has absolutely played very well.
He's definitely
improved from the beginning of the season, but you don't replace Mike Rose like that, just like that. And so that'll be big because then not only can you get more pressure from the middle, that opens up maybe some more double teams or some of those defensive ends or linebackers maybe get another shot at him. So I think it's a big thing for the Riders. And, hey, when I talked to Joe earlier this week, he said no matter who goes in there, they believe they will step up. Joe has all the confidence in the world in himself. We know it the way he acts, one of his biggest hype men. I can't wait to see what he does out there with that type of personality when the lights are really shining bright.
All righty. There is our
Does that mean Sam gets more hits? Sam Annalis?
I don't think so.
No.
He'll get enough anyways.
Because if you got Keyshawn out there, you're going to spread it around a little bit more, right?
He's
the go-to guy
already. He's the go-to guy already for the Riders.
Yeah.
He and Schaefer Baker. It'll be interesting to see. But Britton, we'll leave it there. We'll let you go because coming up next, it's time for Locker on the Loose. What did he find out at Riderville last night? We'll tell you next on 980 CJME and 650 CKOM. I'll see you around. Jamie and Locker with you here on the Green Zone. Locker on the Loose with a guest appearance from the Rider Cheer Squad.
We're at Riderville and I found some of the cheerleaders.
Yeah! Locker on the Loose.
Have you got any thoughts on the rule changes that came down in September from Stu?
Okay, first of all, you got to remember I'm old.
Yeah.
I don't like change.
Yeah, that's fair.
Next year, not bad.
Okay.
Next year, the year after, the changes are getting more aggressive. I'm worried about years 3 and 4 down the road.
So you think there's more changes coming, Jonesy?
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
I like the Canadian game. I like our uniqueness and our identity. And I think we're getting more like NFL football by shortening our field.
Rule changes. Stu brought them down September. You got any thoughts?
Oh, they really suck. I feel the Canadian game is truly Canadian.
Yeah.
And our field should stay the same.
I'm good with the rule changes. It changes my ticket, my position on the field slightly. I'm a little bit further away from the 50-yard line, but otherwise I'm good with all the rule changes.
Redshirt, Locker, do you like anything about the new rule changes?
I really dislike the goalpost. I like the goalpost at the front. I like the element that brings to the games. I like the fact that you can win by a rouge. So I guess there's nothing I like about the rule changes.
I am against it. Longer, wider, faster is not just a saying. It is woven into the fabric of this very league. 60 touchdowns more is what he has said.
Yeah.
Where's the data? Who did it? Where are the metrics? Where is the research? Why are you not showing it to us?
The CFL has changed throughout the decades. At one point in time, you couldn't do a forward pass.
Yeah.
So you know what? Change is inevitable. Let's just move on and get past. Maybe keep the 55-yard line.
We've been season ticket holders since 1966, my family.
Okay.
It's been good for 112 years. Why are you trying to screw with it now?
I think the new rules suck, and Vanier Cup should be played the Saturday before Grey Cup every year like it used to be in the old days.
There you go. Even suggestions with Locker on the Loose. You can check it out on our social media at Green Zone SK on Twitter, at Jamie and I, the Sports Cage on Facebook. A quick sports update. Stuart Johnston announced new team websites, new CFL website, an app, fantasy football at his State of the League address, and he promises three down football isn't going anywhere.
Yeah.
That is not in the conversation.
Which I think settled a lot of people down.
I hope so. Meanwhile, the game in Sweden's wrapped up in the NHL. The Predators beat the Penguins. The Canucks take on the Hurricanes a little bit later on tonight. The NHL, we had a chat with the boss of the Riders, the CEO and President Craig Reynolds. You hear that chat next on 980 CJME and 650 CKOM.